Shoot with the Pruitts, Episode 4, Black and Blue Friday. Welcome, everyone, to Chew It with the Pruitts. I'm Kenny.
I'm Holly.
This is episode number 4.
It's our Thanksgiving episode. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Or as I like to call it in my parts, Black and Blue Friday.
In your parts?
In these parts.
In
this city.
Yeah.
Because we built this city on rock and roll.
Very good. How's it going?
It's going good. It's been a while since we've been with all of you. Since then, we've had daylight savings time end. So it now gets dark at like 5:15, which as a door-to-door salesman, I am very aware of.
Yeah, and as a stay-at-home mom, I'm also aware of, because at 4:30, when it starts getting to be dark outside, I feel like my day is over. And it is not. Not even close.
No, I don't get home for another few hours. The kids certainly are nowhere near going to bed at that point.
No.
Yeah, it plays tricks with your mind. I'm not sure how I feel about daylight savings time in general. I know that there's, a lot of people think it should just be done away with.
I don't really know how it works. I know that there's one area, one county in Oregon that doesn't observe daylight savings. So maybe...
Yeah, it's really weird to me how... Like, you can just choose not to do it.
Right? Like Arizona?
What if I just chose not to do it? Like, could I tell my employer, oh, I'm sorry, actually, like, I choose not to observe daylight savings time.
I will not conform to your rules.
So, I know that you say that the meeting is at 10, but my clock is an hour slower than yours.
I'll be there when I'm there.
I don't know how well that would go over.
You could try it.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
I mean, I could be like Arizona. I think Hawaii maybe as well. I'm not sure
about Hawaii.
I don't know.
We'll have to fact check it.
Yeah, email us. Let us know. If you live in Hawaii, you can maybe let us know firsthand.
Or give us a call.
Yeah, for sure. What is that number? 507-407-CHEW.
Sounds about right.
Hit us up, 507-407-CHEW. You can also find us online at various social networks. The easiest way to find those, though, is just to go to chewitpruitt.com, and that's P-R-U-E-T-T. So chewitpruitt.com, and we have all of our social networks listed on there. Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, Instagram. I think we have a Friendster, too.
MySpace?
I'm pretty sure we still have a MySpace.
Well,
I don't know.
It might have been deleted. No, it's coming back around.
Speaking of coming back around, let's come back around to the dream world. Tell us about your most recent dream, Holly.
Well, let me preface this dream with revealing a fun fact about Kenny, which is that he has terrible feet, and it's something that I, from day one, have tried to help him with, but also given him crap about.
Holly has given me more than one pedicure, and I knew before receiving a pedicure from Holly that she was the one. But that, I think, was the moment that all of my friends knew that she was the one for me, was when I came to church having freshly received a pedicure, including clear toenail polish.
It's true. So I think that might have played into why this was even in my mind, but I had a dream that my feet were so cracked and calloused, well, I guess cracked, maybe calloused and then cracked, that the structure of my foot was no longer in existence. Like, it was just like you could literally see into my foot, and it's so weird. When I looked in the crack of my foot to see inside, there was a little mini Jack Purcell shoe inside my foot.
See, okay, when you explained this dream to me, you made it sound like underneath the skin...
Right.
Your foot was wearing a Jack Purcell. But you're just saying that there was just, like, a keychain size Jack Purcell shoe.
It was like anything that's inside of my foot that can fit inside of my foot is going to be smaller than my actual foot.
Okay. So it was like a keychain size Jack Purcell?
No. I mean, my
foot. So it looked foot, like.
It looks so, like. Maybe, okay,
if so you peeled away the skin, it would look like you were just wearing a Jack Purcell.
Yes and no. If I wear like an 8.5 shoe, which I do, then the shoe that fits inside of my foot would maybe be like a 7.5.
Okay. Okay.
And I don't know what it would look like if we peeled away the skin because I wouldn't have a foot anymore. It would just be a shoe there. So would it be like a stump?
See, I was sort of envisioning... Have you ever seen those tattoos where it looks like your skin is peeling away and then underneath? Like, there's a pretty famous one. You guys could look this up. Maybe we'll even post a link to it in the show notes. Where, like, it looks like somebody's skin is, like, peeling away on their chest. And then underneath it look, it's like the Spider-Man suit. So almost like their real skin is the Spider-Man suit, and the skin is like a suit they're wearing over the top of the Spider-Man
suit. My foot was that's decaying away.
Well, that's what I was envisioning in this dream, was rather than it, like, if you wear an 8.5 shoe, that maybe actually your feet in the dream were like a 9, and they were like over the top of an actual Jack Purcell that you were wearing.
Maybe. I remember being very freaked out in my dream.
I mean, I think any time that it looks like your skin is peeling away and there's a shoe underneath, that would be kind of weird.
Yeah.
Tiny Jack Purcell under a foot callus.
Yeah. That's what's going on in my head.
It's a weird dream.
Well, you know, I'm full of them.
Let us know your interpretation of that dream. If you're somebody who's into reading dream books, or maybe you have the gift of interpretation.
Absolutely. I'd like to know why my brain is filled with these crazy dreams.
Yeah, so hit us up. Let us know. contact@chewitpruitt.com. Let us know what Holly's dream means.
Please. We'll read it on the air. What about you, Kenny? What about your door-to-door life?
So as I mentioned, it's now dark at 5:15 every day. By 5:30, I'm wearing my fluorescent vest. Looks like I'm a construction worker. I would occasionally put it on previously, but now it's kind of a necessity for safety. It is shocking how many streets
don't have street lights. Yeah.
Like, it's really bizarre. Like, there are a lot of streets that are pitch black.
I know.
But in conjunction with the time change, it almost seems at the exact same time, fall has hit hard and fast in our area. And what that means is much colder nights. I'm now wearing pants almost exclusively. I still wore shorts one time this week.
Just to give you an idea of the pants choice, in a previous job, Kenny had to go to the Midwest in January for a training, and he still wore shorts every day, even though it would be below zero some days.
It was 0 degrees with wind chill, like negative 20 or something. But here's the deal. I worked inside a restaurant. I wasn't walking outside. So literally, I walked from my hotel to the car, drove to the restaurant, and then walked from the car to the restaurant. The rest of the time, I was inside. It's not cold inside a central air-conditioned building.
Well, anyway, he doesn't wear pants often. So him mentioning that he's wearing pants at work is a big deal.
Yeah. I do like this job because in the dead of summer, or not even the dead of summer, even if it's 60 degrees outside, I can still choose to wear shorts, which I definitely do. However, it is getting to the point now that it is definitely cold enough I need to wear pants. But just wearing khakis when you are in a severe downpour is not the greatest idea. And I found this out the hard way. Now, I haven't purchased waterproof pants or anything yet. The pants weren't that big of a deal. I mean, you wash and dry those pretty easily. The issue really was that I was wearing athletic shoes that have mesh tops, and in a matter of seconds, my entire foot went from being, you know, relatively damp on the outside to soaked all the way through. It took 2 days to dry them out to the point that I could wear them again. But yeah, it was interesting. I'm sure there's much more of that to come. But I was soaked every square inch of me. So that's my most recent interesting story, I guess, is that when you're out in the rain in khaki pants and athletic shoes, which is not a very good look, but
I think you look great.
I don't really have any shoes that I feel comfortable walking around in for 6 hours a day that would look good with khakis.
Well, Christmas is right around the corner. Who knows what Santa will deliver?
I can only hope that they're waterproof shoes.
Well, Kenny's out in the rain, in the elements. I'm not even really aware of what the weather is outside. All I know is that it's blanket season, and I am typically cuddled on the couch with at least one child under a blanket, and it is awesome. It is my favorite time of year. I love blanket season.
I'm a big proponent of blankets because it allows one person to warm themselves up versus making other people suffer by having the heat on.
Okay, to be fair, the room that we frequent most often in our house is very cold no matter what the temperature is in the rest of the house. That's the downside of owning a 60-year-old house.
I know there have to be other people out there like me right now. Holly's cuddled up with a blanket. I'm in shorts and t-shirt, and I'm great. I'm doing fine. Holly, I'm sure, has the heat on.
Well, yeah, because I just put the kids to bed.
I could definitely do without the heat. But for all of you out there like me, I recommend an episode of Science Mike where he vindicates us all. And he himself is a professed cold-blooded person. And that more often than not, he is cold rather than hot. But he says the preference goes to the warm person because the only thing I can do to get cool is take all my clothes off.
You're not opposed to that.
I can't do anything more than take all my clothes off if I'm too warm. You can always put more clothes on if you're too cold. You can always grab a blanket. So my belief is that the heat is unnecessary in most circumstances.
So when we wake up in the morning and it's 60 degrees on the thermostat, the heat is unnecessary?
Absolutely.
And our kids have freezing little faces?
We have space heaters for them.
That's just a money pit.
I don't think running a space heater costs more than heating the entire house.
I don't have the heat on all day, though.
I don't know what to tell you.
I'm sorry if you hear our dog in the background. She's finding a comfy spot.
Burrowing a hole in the couch. Speaking of dogs.
Yeah?
Food and fitness?
Let's do it.
Nothing healthier than a good hot dog.
Didn't you just have a Polish dog yesterday?
I did have a Polish dog yesterday. I was not planning on going into the office, but I got a call and I needed to go into the office in order to make a sale. So I stopped by and to my amazement, I had completely spaced the fact that it was chili cook-off day.
Man.
So there was, I think, 5 crock pots of chili and a whole bunch of Costco Polish dogs.
I'm sure the chili was better than my crunchy bean chili I made last week.
Can I plead the fifth? No, I only tried one of the chilies. It was really good. It was probably the sweetest chili I've ever had. It was really peculiar. Had lima beans in it.
Interesting.
The reason I went for it was because I saw some bacon. And that was my draw to it. It was really good. But I don't know what the secret ingredient was that made it so sweet, but...
Lima beans? Maybe cinnamon?
Are lima beans sweet?
I don't know.
I mean, I don't think that lima beans are
sweet. Have you ever had just a lima bean before?
I've had lima beans, collard greens.
I know that you have not had collard greens before. I'm asking you about lima beans.
I've only ever had lima beans in that chili that I just ate.
Okay, well, maybe we'll have to try out some lima beans and...
find out if they were the secret
sweet ingredient. Find out if they are sweet and then get to you guys with a recipe. Who knows?
Now, where do you think lima beans fall on the clean food or dirty food scale?
I think that lima beans would be clean. I don't know anything about lima beans. However, I believe they come from the earth. They are not a processed food, which, in my humble opinion, makes them clean.
Are there such things as dirty foods?
Potatoes are pretty dirty.
I mean, but assuming if we're gonna try to do more clean eating, is there dirty eating?
Yes.
Is there actually dirty eating? Is that a term that's used in these health blogs?
I need to not laugh silently so that people don't just think that I'm not responding to you. So, I don't read a lot of health blogs. You know, you're putting me on the spot right now, but I think I've seen the term dirty food. From what I have taken from what I've read, all clean eating means is that it's not processed.
So, in theory... could the chili I ate have been clean? Or would the inclusion of, at the very least, bacon have made it dirty chili?
It could. It depends on the quality of the bacon.
So there's clean bacon and dirty bacon?
I only read into the meat product, or like the pork products, in a very limited way, because we don't eat a lot of pork. But it sounds like, yeah, higher quality is considered more clean, but I think it's based on what the animal was fed. So it might be more like looking at organic versus non-organic.
And then probably the inclusion of tomato paste would probably, that has to be dirty, right? I mean, if we're talking non-processed foods, I mean, a canned tomato paste... which is usually an ingredient in chili, if I'm not mistaken. I mean, would that immediately eliminate chili from being clean?
It may eliminate that specific chili, but no, chili can be made in a clean way. You just use your own tomato products.
So you'd have to make your own tomato paste?
Well, I'm sure you could use, like, cornstarch as a thickener.
Okay. Let us know if you have a clean chili recipe out there. Holly, what is the deal with the clean eating these days?
Well, clean eating these days, I think for us, is probably the easiest way to get healthy, to eliminate the bad things without eliminating entire food groups. But I think what also is important when you're dieting is making sure that you are not going to extreme. So one thing that we've been working on a little bit with our diet is kind of having an 80-20 rule for clean eating. So 80% clean, 20% dirty. Does it make you feel better to call it dirty eating?
Well, if it's not clean, then it would be dirty, right? Contaminated? I mean, no. I need to know what the opposite of clean is. I've always been raised to know that if something's not clean, it's dirty.
I don't think you need to know.
What's the 20%?
The 20% is cheat meal. So something like pasta or eating out, like going out to eat.
Now, if we made dessert, our own pasta, would that be considered clean?
Yes.
Okay.
I think.
Is there a pasta press attachment for the KitchenAid mixer?
There is. You know it.
I think that there's everything.
There is everything.
Is there a time machine attachment for the KitchenAid mixer?
There's gotta be.
So, cheat 20% of the time, eat clean the other 80% of the time.
Yeah.
How do you think we do with that?
I honestly think that we do really well because I cook most of our meals.
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to think. Is there anything dirty about our recipe this week?
No.
What is the recipe this week, Holly?
Oh, I'm glad you asked, Kenneth. The recipe this week is a ground turkey sweet potato hash.
Like we mentioned, this is our Thanksgiving / Black and Blue Friday episode. And we'll get to the Black and Blue Friday reference a little bit later. But Thanksgiving, a time when probably the only time over the course of a year that most people take the time to make a whole turkey.
Yeah, probably. Unless you live on a farm and raise turkeys to eat.
Yeah, I mean, then probably.
But maybe they only raise one a year for Thanksgiving.
Maybe. That would be a very inefficient farm, I feel like.
Well, but they probably have other animals.
Okay. I know that there was a Guy's Grocery Games. No, I'm sorry. A Guy Fieri show, not Guy's Grocery Games. Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives. I'm pretty sure there was an episode where he went to a place that every single item on the menu year-round had turkey in it. And they raised their own turkeys.
Interesting.
And fed them. I guess not fed them. Served them in the restaurant.
That's very cool.
So a sweet potato ground turkey hash.
Yeah, it's just kind of our play on some Thanksgiving items that you would see on your table, but not as fatty, I guess.
We'll give you a fattier version later in the episode if you want a true Thanksgiving experience, but don't want to go to the trouble of making an entire Thanksgiving meal. But this is the clean eating version.
Yes.
The other is the complete opposite version. But we're not giving you the recipe for that. You'll just have to kind of use your imagination. But this is, I guess you're the one that made it. Why don't you give us the ingredients you need for this one?
Yeah, so it's just ground turkey, sweet potato, sweet onion, a bell pepper, and then some salt and pepper and chili powder, I think. That sounds about all I put in there, but it was very filling and delicious. We served it with green beans on the side, so just another tie-in to your Thanksgiving dinner table. But maybe a little healthier than the green bean casserole that I've seen every year.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose if you wanted more of a Thanksgiving color, you could go for a yam instead of a sweet potato. It probably would taste pretty much the same.
Yeah, I will say I thought I'd gotten a garnet sweet potato, which I...
Is that what a yam is?
Well, I feel like when I go to the grocery store, there's yams, and then there are garnet sweet potatoes, and then regular sweet potatoes.
Okay.
I think I might be making all this up, and a garnet may not even actually be red. I thought I had... Anyway, all this to say, I was looking at the labels, and I thought that I actually had gotten a yam or, like, an orange color to make it look prettier. I did not, though. As I started peeling the sweet potato, I realized that's not what I did. So the picture that we post isn't going to be the most aesthetically pleasing as far as colors, but it tasted amazing.
Yeah, it was really good. Was there cheese in it?
Yeah, mozzarella cheese, just okay. Over the top. It's
I thought there
just
was
a little bit
of cheese in there.
Yeah.
It was good. It was really good. I would definitely recommend it. I think if if you're somebody who enjoys cooking, want to have a Thanksgiving-type meal, but maybe you're going to be alone for Thanksgiving, or you just want to have the flavors of Thanksgiving all year round, this was, I mean, it seemed like a pretty easy recipe that was actually really good. Reminded me a little bit of a Thanksgiving dinner.
Thanksgiving dinner, but you don't feel like you need to instantly go to the gym afterwards.
That is definitely the way that I think you should feel after having a Thanksgiving dinner.
That might be what's wrong with America as a nation.
But I think usually you just take a nap after Thanksgiving dinner.
And not if you're the mom of two kids under two, you don't.
What is it? Tryptophan?
I think so.
Tryptophan? Something like that.
It's in an episode of Seinfeld.
It's something that makes you really tired that is in turkey. apparently. But we should be going to the gym. How have we been doing at going to the gym?
The gym has been a little rough. However, we have been working out at home more, and so I feel like we are making up for it a little bit.
Yeah, we've done a few Power 90 workouts here and there when we haven't been able to make it to the gym. You know, we've been getting woken up in the middle of the night a little more than we'd like, and so it's made it a little difficult to get up in the morning and get in gear and get to the gym.
Yeah, I mean, and then we had some sickness running through the house. I had laryngitis, and then baby Kate got the stomach flu, and then I got the stomach flu. It was terrible.
Yeah. And then I felt sick for like 3 hours.
Well, that was at night, though, so it didn't matter. You weren't going to go to the gym at night.
I know, but it was really weird.
I'm sorry that happened to you.
In an attempt to keep ourselves accountable, we announced on last episode that we were going to be running in the Warrior Dash 2016 Portland edition. We have now registered for that.
Yeah, there was a scare that they weren't going to come back to Oregon, which would have made us look like dummies.
We looked into a couple alternative options, but then they did add Portland in the 11th hour.
Yeah, so we have registered. It's at the end of September 2016. And we're accountable now. We've paid the money.
Yeah. We're still working out the final details on what exactly the wager will be. But as we mentioned before, there's some pretty hefty negotiations going on for the winner and the loser.
It's true.
Among the two of us.
Yeah. Godspeed.
As I've mentioned a couple times already this episode, along with Thanksgiving comes my actual favorite holiday, Black and Blue Friday.
What is Black and Blue Friday?
You may know it as Black Friday,
which is now Black Thursday.
Yeah. Which basically, you know, call it, you know, there's many different opinions on why it's called Black Friday. Some people say it's because it's the first day of the year that large companies make it out of the red.
Which I find that very hard to believe, that they go 11 months.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I, you know, having run restaurants, like, it'd be really difficult to lose money
for 11 months.
Which I understand, you know, these are much different businesses, but it just, in any business, I feel like if you lose money for 11 months, it's very difficult to just rely on the last month of the year to make up all of your deficit. But that's one theory, is that, you know, it's people making it out of the red. I've heard some other theories. My theory is that it actually is short for Black and Blue Friday. Often, black and blue is a reference to being bruised, which, there's multiple accounts every year of people being injured or even killed in the Black Friday festivities.
There are people that are killed in Black Friday shopping?
Yeah, absolutely. People get trampled, for sure. You've never heard of this?
Over, like, a Furby toy?
Yeah.
That's messed up.
Black and Blue Friday. It's not actually my favorite holiday, but it is the official beginning of the Christmas season, which is just kind of a fun season. I like it. The Black and Blue Friday reference is a reference to my days as a rock star.
It's what made me fall in love with you.
Among other things. We haven't talked about it on the podcast, but I was in a wildly successful rock band. If by wildly successful, you mean I played 3 shows.
You rocked it, babe.
They were pretty good shows.
I only made it to one of those shows.
Really?
It was the only one that mattered, though.
It's true. The third and final Ivy show.
The return of Ivy.
The return of Ivy was the concert that I proposed to Holly at. That's actually true. The only reason we had that concert.
Thanks, guys.
Maybe someday we'll have the men from Ivy on to do an interview.
Yeah, but they're all getting married now.
It's true. I guess we could have their families on.
Who knows? A lot of people.
It would be a lot of people. But yes, Ivy was my rock band. It was fun. Those were some of the best days of my life.
Followed by the rest of the best days of your life.
Yeah.
Because yeah, then you I mean, got married.
The last concert I had was the day that I got proposed to you. Got engaged to you.
Very good.
So, this holiday season, when you're out shopping, try not to get black and blue on Black and Blue Friday.
I'll do my best if I'm even able to go out. It all depends on that baby.
When you say that baby...
Yeah.
Which baby are you referring to? Baby Kate?
No. Baby Kate is precious and has slept through the night with very few problems since she was 3.5 months old. Our newest baby, our little Charlie, that is not the case. We, right at 3.5 months, had this miracle 4 days of him sleeping in his crib through the night, no problem. It was absolutely incredible. It was literally the best 4 days of my life since becoming a mom of 2 under 2.
Now, to give Charlie a little credit, he is currently sleeping in his crib right now.
He is sleeping in his crib right now.
Which is how we're able to record this podcast. He makes it until about 1:30, 2.
1:32.
And that's kind of when the chaos starts.
Yeah. Sometimes we can just give him some cuddles and he'll go back to sleep in his crib. Other times we're too tired to do that, so he comes into bed with us. That's what happened last night and did not turn out very well.
Yeah. It's been a rough go with the sleeping. I think it's one of those things, and actually I read this article the other day, or somebody posted it on Facebook or something, and the article was about why somebody decided to have a third child, which, that's not part of my plan. But, I agreed with her reasoning as to why she decided to have a third child was the fact that it's only difficult the first few years of their lives. You know, once they're in school, like, I mean, it has its own challenges, and we aren't there yet, and we can't even understand what it's like to have children that are 5 or 10 or 20.
Don't talk about that.
But, in the grand scheme of things, if the hardest part about raising a child is the first 3 or 4 years of their lives, that's such a small part of their life and of being a parent, that for this person, it was a reason that she decided to have a third child. For me, it's just the light at the end of the tunnel with Charlie that, you know what, we're going to miss, like we miss with baby Kate, the fact that he always wants to cuddle with us. And he likes to just look at us, and we're the favorite things in his life.
Yeah.
Just him getting to look at us is his favorite thing in life, and we'll miss that in 6 months.
And if cuddling and looking at us was enough to calm him down in the middle of the night, then that would be amazing. But there are definitely times that that is not the case. He's a little bit fussier. You know what, guys? I'm being a little hard on Charlie. He's really sweet. He has the best smile. He has great little dimples. Gosh, he's just so cute. I really hope that I remember more from his infancy than just him not sleeping.
I'm sure you will.
Well, we're not there yet, so.
Right now, it seems like the only thing that he contributes is a lack of sleep.
And cuteness.
And poop.
Yeah, he did have a major blowout today, which required me to do an extra load of laundry.
Speaking of laundry, Holly.
Yeah.
How do we keep track of our chores these days?
Well, as a couple, I would say we're pretty stereotypical in that I am much more clean and tidy than you are. That's just, I feel like, a gender role, gender stereotype.
That is a gender stereotype, and I'm offended.
You're not, though. So...
I'm offended.
We have had multiple conversations. We will just call them conversations. The volume of our voice may change, but we are just
sometimes
talking.
Sometimes we're talking loudly. Sometimes we're talking softly. Sometimes there's water running down our faces.
Sometimes we're laughing and sometimes we're crying. Who knows? We've had many conversations about cleaning up after ourselves and contributing to household work. Now, as a stay-at-home mom, I do recognize that the majority of the housework should fall on me because that is the work that I am doing. I'm raising our children and taking care of our house. However, I do not feel that it is my job to pick up after other adults in the house. There's only one other adult in the house, guys.
Lila is like 49.
She's actually 8 years old now, so do that math.
56.
She doesn't actually make that much of a mess.
You tell that to her vomit.
Anyway,
she has really bad acid reflux.
I don't feel like I should have to pick up after other adults, and I do feel like all of the adults should be contributing to the housework.
This is a real question. If we put one Tums in all of Lila's food, do you think she would puke more or less?
I will consult my veterinarian friend on that.
You do have a friend that's a veterinarian.
I do. Hey, Sid. Anyway, so... A suggestion that Kenny made in order to help him help me was to make a list of things that I do on a daily and weekly basis, and then he can check the list and see what needs to be done that day when he comes home from work. So I wrote things down on the list, and I asked him to make it into a digital copy. It took several months before that happened. But he did do it and get it laminated, which I very much appreciated. And so now we have this cute little chore chart that is hanging on our fridge that Kenny sees first thing when he walks in the house from work. And I just cross things off with a dry erase pen as I get them done through the day. And he is able to support me when he comes home, whether that be him taking on a chore or two, or him watching the kids or putting the kids to bed while I finish those chores. Sometimes I really don't mind cleaning, and there are times that I would actually prefer him to just take the kids, and I will get up and go clean. I don't have a problem with that.
Even the weeks that, like, I'm even, you know, a little extra busy at work, I'm not able to maybe help around the house as much as Hollywood like me to, I think it still has made it easier to, like, have a daily routine and to understand that, like, it doesn't have to get built up to the end of the week where our, because I think what happened a lot in earlier on in our marriage was that it would get to Saturday and Sunday, it would get to whatever my weekend was, and we had to spend a really big portion of that time cleaning, catching up on chores, doing whatever. And obviously, like, I hate doing chores, so I don't want to spend my weekend doing that. But also, Holly wants to be able to spend time with me, I would hope and assume. So she does not want our entire weekend spent doing chores either. So.
I actually like doing chores together.
Well, yeah, but I mean, nowadays we don't do chores together. Unless it's when the kids are asleep. And there's a very small amount of chores we can do while the kids are asleep.
You mean I probably shouldn't vacuum the house right now?
I mean, that's up to you. But I think you know my opinion on the matter.
Well, we'll see what happens.
We will see what happens.
Next week is going to look a little different, though, because for chores, I went grocery shopping today, which is on the chore list for Fridays. And as I was meal planning,
but you try grocery shopping on Black and Blue Friday.
Right.
I mean, the doorbusters on rice are insane.
Well, if I went to like a regular grocery store,
20 cent bags of rice for everybody.
If I went to a regular grocery store, it probably wouldn't be that bad.
It's true. We do most of our grocery shopping at Fred Meyer, which is not just groceries. They are actually, I believe, opening at 7 a.m. on Thanksgiving. Well, actually, to be fair, they've always been open on Thanksgiving.
It's true.
Which, I may sound like a horrible person, I don't actually have a ton of sympathy for people that work retail and have to work on Thanksgiving. Because I was 14 years old when I got my first job, and I worked every Thanksgiving and every Christmas. Because you know what?
Old people gots to eat.
Old people still have to eat on Thanksgiving and Christmas. So I was a high schooler that had to get up and do my Christmas presents on Christmas and then put on my work uniform and walk myself to work on Christmas morning. So as much as I understand it's common and popular these days to hate on big corporations for making people work Thanksgiving, the fact of the matter is, grocery stores are almost always open for a portion of time on Thanksgiving because you want to be able to get those last-minute groceries that you forgot to get the day before. But if they sell a TV during that time, they're evil.
Evil corporations, what are you going to do?
What are we going to do for Thanksgiving, Holly?
Well, this year looks a little different than our previous Thanksgivings together because what we have always done since we've been married is spend the night with your family on
Wednesday night. Before Thanksgiving.
Before Thanksgiving. But with a growing extended family on top of us having small babies that maybe wouldn't handle the change in environment very well, plus your new work schedule, I don't know that that's the way it's going to look this year. So we're still trying to work out the kinks, but what we have usually done is spent the first half of the Thanksgiving holiday with Kenny's side of the family, have our Thanksgiving dinner with my side of the family, and then regroup for Black Friday shopping with Kenny's family, or yeah, some of Kenny's family.
Holly's parents aren't festive in that way. They're festive in other ways.
They are.
But they do not participate in getting out in the madness of Black Friday.
Well, I think that that makes them just normal. I mean, my dad did it 1 year and said that it was horrible and would never want to do it again. So he tried it.
Yeah, I mean, it's not for everybody.
And my mom actually works on Black, or my mom works in a hair salon, so she actually will be working. So that's why she's never done it.
Not everybody likes to, you know, hit people for a Nerf gun. Use a real gun to buy a Nerf gun.
That sounds really messed up. I don't believe that there are people shooting people. I don't think that
anyone's ever been shot. That is maybe a bit insensitive. But
you're opening up a can of worms.
I know that people have died on Black Friday.
Fact check.
So this year, our Thanksgiving will look a little bit different. So traditions, you know, as traditional as traditions are, traditions do change over time. So we'll see what things look like for us this year going forward, but Thanksgiving usually revolves in some way around eating a lot of food and then going shopping.
Yeah.
And that probably, in some capacity, will continue on for us this year. Let us know about your traditions for Thanksgiving. What do you guys like to do? Hit us up. 507-407-CHEW.
Favorite time of the day. Let's have some fun.
You know, I love this part of the episode. That's probably why you called it my favorite part.
Yeah, it's heebie-jeebie time.
Heebie-jeebies. If we had done an actual Halloween episode, maybe we could have talked about somebody getting the heebie-jeebies.
Ooh, I just thought of a really good Halloween heebie-jeebie.
Why don't you give it to me, since we don't have any fan-submitted heebie-jeebies. Okay. You give me the clue. This truly is on the spot.
Okay.
As far as I know, she just came up with this as we were doing
this. I did.
This. Okay.
Emily Spirit.
Emily.
I don't think he's gonna get this one, guys.
Okay, Spirit. Emily.
I'm doing a little dance because I think I might have stumped him.
I just don't. I mean, is Emily like. Okay, hold on. I have no idea. I mean, for spirit, obviously it could be ghost, demon, ghoul.
One of those is correct.
Yeah, and I just... Emily... Yoast ghost. I have no idea.
You picked the correct spirit. It is post ghost.
Who's Emily Post?
She's like the Miss Manners, like Emily Post Manners rules etiquette.
I've never heard of that in my entire life.
Doesn't matter. It's a real thing, and I stumped you.
I mean, the idea of a heebie-jeebie isn't to stump, necessarily.
Well, my competitive nature tells me that that's not true.
Okay, that's fine. There's no way I could have ever got that.
Well, okay, I didn't know for sure that you had never heard of Emily Post. And also, I do feel like if we had, like, given that as a heebie-jeebie clue for our last episode, that other people may have been able to get that.
Maybe. It's possible.
Okay. Now it's time for a poll. Who has heard of Emily Post and who has not? Hit us up. Facebook, Twitter, 507-407-CHEW.
And Friendster.
We're working on our MySpace.
Okay, I'll give it to you. Your goal is to stump me, and you stumped me. There's just no way I would have ever got Post from Emily. I was just thinking maybe there was, like, a famous person. Like, I was thinking Emily Blunt, but... I couldn't really think of anything family-friendly that rhymes with blunt.
Punt?
Well, not that it was a ghost. I mean, I don't know.
What's...
Anyway, I was thinking maybe it was Emily Blunt. And then I thought, well, maybe there was somebody named Emily Yost.
Well, I mean, in the world, I'm sure there is at least one person named Emily Yost.
I just assumed you wouldn't have just, like, picked some random person you went to high school with. That it would have at least been a famous person that I might have heard of. But instead, you still came up with somebody else I've never heard of.
Still a famous person.
Is Emily Post a real person? Or is she's, like, kind of like that you can do it?
Rosie the Riveter?
Yeah. Is she kind of like Rosie the Riveter, Emily Post... Like, they're, like, figureheads for certain things, or Emily Post is a real person?
I don't know. I don't know that much about Emily Post. I just know of her.
Okay.
Fact check.
So, maybe I'll come up with one for you, since we don't have any fan-submitted ones. But for right now, let's revisit last week's.
Yeah, so last week's clue, as a reminder, was police tax. Our winner and still our reigning champ is
three-peat,
is at Zade Story. I feel like our listeners are slacking a little bit.
Yeah, you guys could have hopped in on this one pretty easily. He had a couple guesses that were incorrect. He eventually came up with the correct answer, but this was a good one.
Was a good one. So the correct answer, for those of you that would like to know, is Sheriff Tariff.
Yeah, it's a pretty good one.
I like to come up with those stumpers.
Do you think that we've come up with another stumper this week?
I don't know if it's as difficult as last week's, or the one from last episode, but maybe this will be a little bit more inclusive and encourage people to contribute their answers.
Yeah, I could see that. This is a favorite clue of mine because I like fun literary things. And the clue this week is alliteration.
Yeah.
So, for those of you that don't know what alliteration is, it's just two or more words in a row that start with the same letter. Right. And make the same sound.
Yes. Like, we chose to not use alliteration when naming our children because we did not want to give our children the initials of PP.
It's true. So we would not have named our son Patrick or our daughter Patricia.
They could have been Pat and Pat, though.
Pat Pat.
Two Pat?
Two Pat. Patrick Patterson. That's a real basketball player. His name is Patrick Patterson, and his nickname was Two Pat.
That's also an example of how we're very often on the same wavelength.
Yep. But all that to be said, this week's clue is alliteration. I'll give you a hint, though. The answer is not alliteration. The clue for this week is criminal cantaloupe.
That is criminal cantaloupe.
So, get your answers to us. We will tweet that out. We'd love to hear your answers. We'd love to dethrone at Zade Story. And we really need you guys' submissions because Holly's not going to get to answer a heebie-jeebie on this episode.
That's too bad. I would like to say we've had some feedback from some listeners that they were listening to an episode, they got the answer right away, but then didn't submit it because they were listening so far past when we had released the episode. So just as a little housekeeping item, we would like to say, since it's super fun, but right now we're just embracing the season of life that we're in. We don't have a ton of time to record, so we are releasing our episodes monthly at this time. So if you feel like it is too late to add anything in, whether it's an answer to our heebie-jeebie clue or if it's a heebie-jeebie itself, don't worry about it because we probably haven't recorded the next episode yet.
It's true. We have sort of had to come to the realization that doing two times a month is probably even too often at this point. So we're going to do monthly, and we're just going to embrace the topical things that are happening during that month. So just a little foreshadow, next month will probably have something to do with
my birthday.
Yes. Or Christmas. We'll see.
Maybe a little bit of both.
Maybe. But let's leave the people with a recommendation.
Well, this is something that comes from way back in our dating days when we first started couponing.
Yep, we got, I don't know if we were engaged yet, but we might have been.
We were not engaged yet.
But I can't remember if we've said this on the podcast or not, but I was laid off the day after our first date. So our entire dating relationship.
And half of our engagement.
I was unemployed. And so, sort of, you know, with that, like, I mean, I had unemployment, it was fine, whatever, but.
He was not homeless, he survived.
But we just sort of been looking forward to, hey, you know, if we end up getting married, you know, like, how can we make sure that we can afford stuff, whatever. We started couponing pretty heavily, which was actually really fun. It got to be our Sunday morning routine. We would always get together and coupon. And the only reason we don't coupon as much now as we used to is because most things that have coupons are not healthy.
It's true.
Which is kind of unfortunate considering more than likely it's poor people that are couponing and therefore poor people that are eating really terrible food. But
we're not trying to get political, guys. It's just those are the facts.
The facts of life. What we are trying to do is harken back to those days and remember a fond time. This is far from healthy.
It is. It's about 5 years ago. We were not on our health journey yet.
But here's the deal. Thanksgiving, you're going to overeat anyway. Let's just accept that. That definitely falls into the 20% dirty eating day.
Might have to take a little cheat week for
Thanksgiving. You're going to eat a lot of bad things. So let's say you're single. Let's say you just don't want to go through the trouble of cooking an entire turkey dinner, but you love the flavors of a traditional Thanksgiving feast. Our recommendation is Thanksgiving in a bowl.
What's Thanksgiving in a bowl?
It sounds crazy.
This is actually, if I'm remembering correctly, like I said, it's been 5 years. This is actually inspired by the famous bowls from KFC.
Oh, yeah, for sure. It was. I think that we're just talking about how good the famous bowls were. We ate a lot more fast food back then.
I really could go for some KFC right now.
But somehow we came up with this idea for Thanksgiving in a bowl. So essentially, this is what you need to construct your own Thanksgiving in a bowl. Can of corn.
Yep.
A jar of turkey gravy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you don't like gravy, you could just go for a can of creamed corn. But you need some sort of moisture in this dish.
Or cranberry sauce.
You could go for some cranberry sauce. That would be an option as well. But if you don't like gravy, you need still something that's moisture, so you could go for creamed corn instead of regular whole corn. You could go for cranberry sauce. But the original time, it was a can of regular, just sweet corn, a jar of turkey gravy, one box of stovetop stuffing,
mm-hmm.
one pouch of instant mashed potatoes.
So good.
Whatever flavor you want.
I think we just went for the original.
Probably. And then a pound of ground turkey.
Yeah. Cook all of those up to the package specifications.
Now, once again, this is definitely not clean eating. We're talking canned vegetables, jarred, dehydrated bread. I mean, all of it is just full of sodium, and it's not good for you by any means.
But were never under the impression that it was good for us.
But make up the stuffing separate, make up the mashed potatoes separate, brown the ground turkey, add in a can of corn, heat that up a little bit once the turkey is cooked, and then use, you know, your traditional Thanksgiving seasoning, savory seasoning, thyme, rosemary, I don't know. Those are probably...
salt and pepper.
Yeah. Season that up, you make the stuffing, the potatoes, then at the end everything's made, you mix it all together in one bowl, add on some gravy. If you wanted to get pretty wild and crazy, you could maybe get also a can of green beans to mix in as well. And this is actually my idea, if you wanted a little bit of cranberry flavor in there, throw in some craisins. If you don't have any cranberry sauce, sprinkle in some craisins.
I think what we actually did, though, was cranberry splash Sierra Mist.
We did. That's right. I forgot about that. So, yes, you need the cranberry element. You got to go for the cranberry splash Sierra Mist. So, get a tall glass of the cranberry splash Sierra Mist. Got your Thanksgiving in a bowl. Let us know what you put in your Thanksgiving in a bowl. I think that's all the time we have for today. Holly's letting out a big yawn. I think she's going to try to take a shower before Charlie wakes up for his last feeding of the night.
Which could be any minute now.
Thanks again, everybody.
Happy Thanksgiving.
It's almost here, the first day of holiday cheer. Up before dawn, one cup of coffee, I'm gone. Off to the store, stand in lines that go out the door. I'm on my way, the fun we all know as Black Friday. Oh, where to park, ready to shop while it's dark. Straight to the toys for the things that bring children joy. There it is, exactly what I came here to get. There's only one, a specially priced doorbuster Nerf gun. Toys and games and DVDs, everything you'd ever need. I'll celebrate the holidays by purchasing these gifts today. Sweater vests, socks and coats, I bought them because I love you so. I beat a mom out of the way because it's Black and Blue Friday. Dash to the shelf, tripped by an elf. I've been beat, my stumbling led to my defeat. Away she ran, that's when the pursuing began. Broke my heart, and I saw her place it into her cards. Toys and games and DVDs, everything you'd ever need. I'll celebrate the holidays by purchasing these gifts today. Sweater vests, socks and coats, I bought them because I love you so.